question is this: how do we get two groups of people to come together? Those that are completely disengaged with what I call their personal physical health status, and those people who are in love with their physical health status and doing something about it. How do we bring them together so that everybody fits into the second category of falling in love with their physical health, lowering their risk of disease, and feeling amazing? We're going to find out in today's episode of The New Science of Physical Health. Everybody, welcome back to the next episode here in the Daily Drop of The New Science of Physical Health. So, the origin for this particular episode came from something that I did today. This is mind-blowing. I had to take my mother-in-law to a cardiologist. That's not the mind-blowing part, by the way. But I had to take my mother-in-law to the cardiologist. She was getting a... So she's 89 years old. Yeah, just turned 89 years old. And she was getting a procedure done there known as an echocardiogram. Now, I'll explain a bit about an echocardiogram in just a moment. Here's what happened. We come in there. We're actually half an hour early to the appointment. And if you've ever been to a medical clinic, that they had, this medical clinic was so big, they have two different reception areas and something like about nine different treatment bays. So there's like, you go down one hallway, it's a treatment bay, down another hallway, it's like nine different hallways, two different reception areas. So we get in there, walk in there, we're about half an hour early, and I'm sitting down thinking, oh, we're going to be here a while because you're never on time when you get to the doctor. I'm sure you've had that experience. And we're waiting for her to get this echocardiogram. And I'll just explain it very quickly. What it does is, it's something that doctors do, as it uses sound waves to produce images of your heart. So it's a very common test. And it allows your doctor to see your heart beating and pumping blood. So it's like an x-ray, if you like. But your doctor can use the images from an echocardiogram to identify if you've got heart disease. So we're at this cardiology practice. And it's like a cardiology clinic, I should say. It's not just a practice where it's a one-off doctor. It's like, well, when we got to the reception area, I'm sitting there going, this is unbelievable. This is huge. There's five receptionists. It was in the middle of the day, and they were absolutely flat out. I counted in the time that, so what happened was my mother-in-law got taken in. We actually got in early, which was really good and very unusual. So about 5 minutes after we got there, she was taken in to get her echocardiogram. And I'm sitting there in the waiting room and I'm thinking to myself, oh, I'm going to go back outside and wait and, you know, come back in. She'll probably be a little while. It turned out she was a little while. She was almost an hour. So the procedure took some time to complete for the version of echocardiogram that she's getting. So what happened then was I'm sitting there making a little observations of the number of people that are coming up to the desk in this 1 hour in this cardiology clinic, medical clinic, if you like, the number of people coming up there, the number of people sitting in the waiting room. Now, I would have counted in that hour, there was easily more than 60 people that came in and out to be treated for something within this cardiology clinic, for something, whatever their situation was. Some might have been having echocardiograms, some might have been getting, you know, treatment from a doctor, like a treatment plan for their disease. Some people might have been getting stents put in. I want to talk about stents in just a moment, actually. I've got something, that's the whole point of today's episode. The $5.6 billion health industry you've never heard of. This is this really did amaze me when I got through some of this. So I'm thinking to myself, 60 people inside an hour. The practice itself, so the clinic, seems to be open about 10 hours a day. Now, if they were running 60 people an hour times 10, that's 600 people a day are being seen inside this cardiology clinic. Hang on, that is a lot of people. Now, I want you to get a little bit of a perception here of the scope of what I'm talking about. This is the part of Sydney that I live in is one section of a city that's of about maybe 5 million people, 4 million, 5 million people. I'm not exactly sure. So This cardiology clinic will have people, it's like 600 people coming through in one single day. Times out by, let's say it operates 5 days a week. I didn't even look at it, but it might operate 7 days a week. But let's just say it's five. That means six fives is going to be 3,000 people per week are coming through this one cardiology clinic in Sydney, Australia, one part of Sydney, Australia. So I live in the southern part of Sydney. So I would make an estimate. There'd be another, I reckon I'd be a small estimate that if I went and did a Google search, there'd be another 20 cardiology clinics like that in Sydney, at least another 20. So we're talking 20 times 3,000. What that is going to be is that 60,000? I can't even work that out in my head. I mean, sometimes I always get it wrong because it's like I'm 10 out. But that, if that number, if there were 20 clinics times 3,000 people per week, it's 60,000 people a week in one city of our country, Australia, going through, and we're not a big country, going through cardiology practices to get treated for something to do with heart disease. Many of these people are people who have not yet had a cardiovascular event. They're getting treated in the potential lead up to a cardiovascular event. Now, some will be there because they've had a heart attack or a stroke or something like that, or end-stage organ failure or whatever it might be. But we're talking 60,000 people per week in one city of one country that's not even a big country. Well, it depends what country you're in. This program, this audio episode, this podcast goes out to 74 countries and 810 cities. So I don't know what size population you live in. And Sydney could be considered a, you know, it's not a big city in America, for example, because, you know, if you went into, you know, lots of American cities, there's many of them that have got 5 or 6 million people in them. And some of them have, you know, some cities in America, like New York, for example, or Los Angeles, they have like nearly a third of the population of the whole of Australia in one location. Imagine, like, multiply that. Well, what's New York City? I think New York City's got 20 million. So imagine multiplying the 5 million, 4 times 6, as 250,000 people a week in New York City going in and getting some kind of treatment for a potential post-cardiovascular event or pre-cardiovascular event. Many people these days are screened well, so it's pre-cardiovascular event. That's what I find mind-blowing. But that's not the $5.6 billion industry that no one's ever heard about, which is the title of this episode, $5.6 billion health industry that no one's ever heard about. The $5.6 billion health industry that no one has ever heard about is what completely blows my mind, is in the area of coronary stents. Now, let me just explain to you very quickly, and I've got a purpose to this that links right back to the new science of physical health and what we're doing here. Okay, a coronary stent or an angioplasty stent is a procedure which is used to open up clogged heart arteries. So angioplasty or stents uses a tiny balloon catheter that is inserted into a blocked blood vessel to help it widen and improve blood flow to the heart. It's often combined with the placement of a small wire mesh tube called a stent. The stent helps prop open the artery, decreasing its chance of narrowing again. Most stents are coated with a medication to help keep the artery open. So what you have is this thing called a stent, which is getting put into, listen to this, in the United States of America, this is about 10 times less, well, Australia first of all, about 200,000 people, this is incredible, 200,000 people a year in Australia are getting a procedure called a stent, because 200,000, because they're having a narrowing of the blood vessels as a result of, and I've got to say it exactly how it is, the incorrect dose of physical activity, incorrect, not correct dose of physical activity that has created negative molecular and physiological health adaptations, leading to narrowed, one of those is leading to narrowed arteries. One of those. They're not the only ones, that's just one part of it. If you've got narrow arteries, you've got a lot of other problems as well, not just that. So, 200,000 people having negative health adaptations because of the incorrect dose of physical activity, and they need a stent to hold off the possibility of their blood vessels completely shutting down, closing, and having a heart attack or a stroke, which takes their life or causes permanent sickness, like a stroke, for example, like a severe stroke. So angioplasty treats the buildup of fatty plaques inside the heart's blood vessels, inside the blood vessels of the heart. The buildup is a type of disease. We've talked about this all the time. It's in one of the major critical diagrams of the health coaching lab. The buildup is a type of heart disease known as atherosclerosis. We've mentioned it before when we've talked about it. So angioplasty is a treatment that your doctor will decide. But here's the interesting thing, okay? We know, categorically proven, clinically validated research, and I'll explain this as a part of one of the critical diagrams inside the health coaching lab, one of the 18, is called the impact quadrant. The impact quadrant demonstrates the positive health adaptations that occur if you have the correct dose of physical activity on four major areas related to the leading cause of sickness and death, cardiovascular events. So that I'll state this clearly, the correct dose of physical activity, and we have a clinically validated health software which tracks that inside the health coaching lab. That clinically validated health software, if you get the correct dose of physical activity, one of the four areas that inside this critical diagram, one of the most critical diagrams I've ever created, called the impact quadrant, is atherosclerosis. Now, one tiny part of it here, I just want to show you or demonstrate to you the impact. So 200,000 people get stents here in Australia. In the United States, I looked it up, 2 million people a year. 2 million people get a stent. So here's what I would like to be able to sit down and tell those people. Every time on a 7-day, by a rolling 7 days, you have the correct dose of physical activity, a gas gets released into your bloodstream by your body naturally called nitric oxide. Now here's what nitric oxide does. Gets into the wall of the artery and it makes it more flexible. That's a pretty simple concept to understand. Nitric oxide has a very short, what's called half-life. It means it doesn't last very long. So you have to go back and get another dose of nitric oxide. The way to do that is have the correct dose of physical activity. Because by having the correct dose of physical activity, you end up having a consistent release of nitric oxide into your blood vessels, and the physiological health adaptation is that it increases the flexibility of that blood vessel wall. It's a simple way to explain a complex medical process. As a result, you decrease your risk of ever developing atherosclerosis or the impact of atherosclerosis. That means you have a linear correlation with decreasing your risk of needing to have a stent. It's incredible. So that's what, I walked into this practice with my mother-in-law. I'm thinking to myself, 60 people in an hour, I'm watching this before my very eyes. People walking in all various states. People who aesthetically, like their physique looked normal. Other people, their physique looked very large. Many people look very large. And many people sitting in there, interestingly enough, look to have a normal physique. You wouldn't pick them for having heart disease. Like, you literally wouldn't. So there's 2 million people in the US. Now, this is what I'm about to share with you now is what blows my mind. I found some research here. That's not medical research. It's research about the coronary stent market. How many coronary stents are sold? Now, check this out. This is just This is absolutely mind-blowing. So the title of this research paper I've got, Coronary Stents, Global Analysis and Market Forecast. Can you believe, I mean, I guess there's no reason this shouldn't be the case, but there's this company called Global Data that have put together a, well, how long is this thing? 34-page document on the amount of sales that you could expect in the industry of selling to cardiology practices all around the world stents. What's the market size? So check this out. And what I find even more amazing, the title of this episode, the $5.6 billion health industry that no one's ever heard of. What I'm about to tell you is that $5.6 billion industry is only 10 major countries. Only 10 in the world. So here they are. The US, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, United Kingdom, Great Britain, Japan, Brazil, China, and India. Now, China and India, of course, the two biggest in the world. But those countries combined, US, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, UK, Japan, Brazil, China, and India. During the forecast period here, this is what this document says here. The figures below, I'll just read this out. The figures below show the sales of coronary stents, coronary heart arteries, for treating coronary artery disease, CAD, in each of the 10 countries covered in this report during the forecast period. And the 2000 global data estimates 2014 sales of the stents to be, this is unbelievable, in 4.9 billion dollars in 2014. So this paper was done a little while ago. By 2020, they estimated coronary stent sales to be $5.62 billion with a, listen to this, a compound annual growth rate of 2%. So what is that? That's $560 million. That's like, over $100 million. Is that right? Anyway, 2% of $5.62 billion, whatever that is. I can't work that out top of my head. All the smart mass people are thinking about me right now. How dumb is this guy? He can't work out 2% of $5.62 billion. Well, you can get your calculator out and work that out. But that's the annual compound growth rate of the number of stents. There's no sign of this slowing at all. Here's my whole point of bringing this. I am amazed that there is a $5.62 billion health industry that people have never heard of. And that coronary stents, when you go into a cardiologist, that is just one area that they examine to treat people with heart disease. There's a myriad of other things that I'm not going to go through. I go through them in the health coaching lab. I get into some detail in one specific part that's called the molecular benefit map, which I won't talk about right now. But so stents is just one area. And here's what, when I've sat down with the different professors that I have around the world, like Professor Ulrich Wisloff, who I talk about a lot, who is a global leader in developing methodologies to help people have a linear correlation between the physical activity they do and the risk that they have of developing the need for having stents, the need for having an echocardiogram. I'm 55, I've had a preventative one, but I've never had the need. I have no signs, cross fingers, no pain, no symptoms, no anything. Not cross fingers, by the way, that was a joke. I've no anything. But there are 200 million people in the United States of America this year are gonna have a stent. Goodness knows what it is in China and India. I should look that up and bring that to you in the next episode. I think I will, because that blows my mind. All of those things are done as a precautionary preventative step, which you've got to listen to your doctor, to help prevent people from having a catastrophic event that could end their life. But we're not pouring. So there's two million people to get it in, and it's a $5 billion market. But we're not pouring $5 billion into this concept of how do I get to avoid that? How do I get to not be one of those 60 people a day inside the cardiology clinic that's visiting them? How do I get to or drive down my risk of so that that doesn't happen? That right there, that question, that's why I created the new science of physical health as a genre of education and this new health coaching lab. I created that because I'm sitting there going, whatever people have been learning, whatever has been sinking into their minds, clearly as a society, it ain't working. If it was working, why do we have a $5 billion sales, $5.6 billion worth of sales? That's real dollars, US dollars, by the way. That's what Australians call it, real dollars, because it's the value of the dollar. Australian dollar to the American dollar. The American dollar is always much more powerful in terms of its value, higher. But like, why do we have that industry. We don't put $5.6 billion into the whole concept. So of how do we stop people? How do we, I love using this example. I'm going to finish on this. Why do we park the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff? Think about it. People are driving along in life. They're cruising down the freeway of life. They're in their 20s. They're in their 30s. Oh, something happens in their 30s, a little twinge, a little something. Got to get checked out by the doctor. Get to their 40s. Starts to have a, you know, or the doctor says, we found some stuff here. We've got to put a stent in. We've got to do an echocardiogram. We've got to do a cardiac output test. All these pulse wave velocity tests. They're specialist cardiology tests. I won't go into those. But why do we do this? You're driving down the road in life, in your 20s, in your 30s, in your 40s, and it's like the majority of the world in the communities we live in, I like to bring it back to that. The majority of people go around one bend that's on the side of a cliff, and some people fall over the cliff and have a health catastrophe, physical health catastrophe. So what happens is the medical industry, by design, and they park their ambulance at the bottom of the cliff and hope that you don't land on the rocks, or if you do, you're not dead, and they can pick you up and take you to the hospital where you can go and get patched up like having a stent. So it's like, why don't we have a situation where we park the ambulance 5 miles back from the cliff and we help inspire people, hook people, drive people into the world of the new science of physical health, where we teach them things like, inside one of our critical diagrams in the health lab, which you can click on a link in the show notes, but we teach them this concept of the release of nitric oxide into their blood vessels that causes an increase in elasticity that helps to drive down their risk of having a cardiovascular event, because instead they've created positive health adaptations, like a constant supply of this gas into their blood vessels on a rolling 7 days. But we don't do that. We don't have person after person after person after person rolling out of their school life or rolling into adulthood going, look, just got a little few little things we're going to do here. We're going to give you some frameworks. We're going to give you 6 modules. We're going to teach you how to manage your physical health outcomes for the rest of your life. That doesn't happen. And I know it doesn't happen. And that leads to 2 million people a year getting what the same procedure, a stent. And that's only one of a huge range of procedures. Echocardiograms, pulse wave velocity tests, things that come, cardiac output, stroke volume tests, to determine whether or not you've got the number one cause of sickness or death in your body, cardiovascular disease. I had no idea until I did a bit of research for this episode that the stent industry is worth $5.62 billion. Now, I'm not saying don't have a stent. That's ridiculous. I'm not a doctor. How would I would never say that. What I'm saying is there's a way to drive down your risk, and that's why we built what we built with the health coaching lab and all of the content and the software that comes inside of that. All right, everybody, I've got to finish off here. Thanks for letting me share with you again about this incredible $5.62 billion industry I had, I knew what a stent was, but most people have heard of a stent when you mention it, have no concept of how many people have got one, and those people pretty much have no concept of, almost all of them, how you avoid getting into that situation. Well, we'll talk more about that in tomorrow's episode of The New Science of Physical Health. Bye for now!